go.
Bonjour, Anim.
Danach a, at anzenu shuk with an.
Tante.
Oi, inu radike.
This is Words and Culture, a series on Indigenous languages, funded by SiriusXM through the Community Radio Fund of Canada.
Sego, sewakwego. Yoktagoyanyats. Hello, my name is January Rogers, and I'm your host on Words and Culture. Skanagoaga, do you carry the great peace with you? This is a common or general greeting in the Mohawk Ganyagaha language. I am Mohawk or Ganyagahaga from Six Nations. I am your host for Words and Culture, the Haudenosaunee language episodes, and I had the great honor to join the Cayuga language class at Six Nations Polytechnic for their language games night. They had several game stations set up where students could wander from game to game, stations like Bone Dice or Indian Dice, Tic-Tac-Toe, Bone and Toggle, and the classic card game Go Fish. It was a great turnout of teachers, students, and their families joining in, and of course, there was food, yummy stew and corn soup, strawberry drink with biscuits and cookies, all homemade, which inspired a warm and welcoming atmosphere to the night. You could feel the close-knit dynamics amongst everyone there. And again, I was just so honored to be part of their very fun and heartwarming night of language games. Shelby Bomberry, one of the Cayuga Games Night organizers, is a soft-spoken Mohawk man who lives what he speaks. He is a proud teacher of the Cayuga language, and he takes great pride in passing the language baton to his students. Shelby makes and plays traditional Haudenosaunee instruments and does other woodworking craft. He's very family-oriented and holds his position as a cultural carrier within the longhouse with a great sense of responsibility. Jeez, it sounds like I'm writing this guy's dating profile, but don't take my word for it. Let's hear from Shelby himself.
Skana, now we are going to yaso. Toke agriho de nanto, SNPG. Toke gadai honyani, gayakono, nigawano de. Nehatne, gengyokwa, gengyokwaingi. As saskite, nigago, gandiwayasta. Toke hatinishrege, wandandats, senior wait, huisa don't gas, ngoyati. Toke saniot gas, gonghonka, gondidyandeski. Negi Gnad Wenundak Gayakona. So my name is Shelby Bomberry, and I'm one of the teachers here for the program at Polytech. And we have 13 students, and so we're here Monday to Friday. I didn't say this part in Cayuga, but we're here 9 to 3 every day. So they're trying their best to study and learn and do their best to speak also in Cayuga language every day. My mom grew up and her parents were speakers, but they never really spoke to her. So that's a kind of a generational curse, I guess, for a lot of families around here who live like that. And on my dad's side, his mother was a first language speaker, but she went to a residential school in Brantford, as many have. So she didn't really pass the language on. She understood, from what I understand, if people were speaking near her, she could understand what they were saying, but just never could never come out after that, she said. It was a lot of fear. So I had to just pick it up on my own. So I started learning here, actually, I guess 5 years ago now, a year after my boy was born, so 2018, that's when I started learning language, and now I'm teaching the program here. So that's a nice little full circle moment, I guess.
And you said you're a longhouse speaker?
Yes, I do speak at some ceremonies and other functions we have, like the funeral or anything else in the community that they need, like an opening for events and stuff like that.
Shelby is a longhouse speaker. That means he has been deemed worthy of carrying our cultural traditions, practices and ceremonies forward. Yes, in the longhouse, but also in community. The Haudenosaunee longhouse is historically the physical structure where Haudenosaunee people lived communally. In fact, the word Haudenosaunee translates roughly to people of the longhouse or people who build the longhouse. More recently, the longhouse is a much smaller structure used for seasonal ceremonies to take place over several days at a time. Only the language of the nation where the ceremony is hosted is spoken inside the longhouse. This point alone could be inspiration for new language speakers to keep up with their studies. For one day, they too may be tasked to make those speeches or address their people in ceremony. So how did Shelby go from being a non-speaker to being able to go into the longhouse? Because you would need a lot of confidence as a speaker to do that.
Yeah, I guess they kind of picked me too, I guess. So they always say like they're kind of watching you. But one of the teachers here, Alfred Key, Tawinnight Kent, he was one of the speakers at the longhouse I go to. So it kind of just worked out that he did a lot of work there as well. But yeah, it was a lot of pretty well every day. Like I don't really put my books down ever. Even now, today, I'm still learning and studying constantly for everything. So yeah, it's been pretty well every day for the last 5 years or so.
So when they leave this program, they'll be able to converse fluently?
I don't think anyone would ever say fluently, but to the best of our ability, we'll be able to talk about just about everything we could possibly think about, I guess, in the realm of day-to-day activities, routine, jobs, and schooling, and how to teach and what to teach.
Shelby shares more of the language program, where he is one of the teachers, and how they go about producing people who are able to converse in the Cayuga language out of Six Nations Polytechnic School.
So it's technically a 2-year program, so 24 months, but we're going straight through, so we're not stopping in the summer. There's a lot of the program itself, its mission, is that we understood that there's a lot of intermediate level speakers that didn't have the means to get to advance to the next level. So that's what this program was aiming to do, was to take some already proficient speakers and take them to the next level of advance and help them hopefully advance to that level and also teach as well to some degree.
Do you guys create resources out of here?
Yeah, so we create our site instructors. So we build that from all the unit material. So we're creating those, and that'll be a new, I guess, lesson plan for once this program's done. We can repolish it and put it back out there right away for a whole new cohort, and it'll be easier, too, because we have the materials made after all that.
Always thinking, of the next people coming in. For the games night tonight, whose idea was that, and, like, what kind of games is there going to be? Mm.
So the other instructor, Goy Hoy, she had the idea. So we were talked about it before, so pre-COVID, that time frame, we had language cafes here before, but then they just slowly dwindled out. It was her idea, then we kind of just ran with it and got the students interested in, so they got some games going. So we have some games, Bone Dice, and we were going to have Jeopardy, but that didn't work out, just time frames and everything. We got Bone and Toggle, and a couple of word games we got. And we got some winter words printed out, so we'll share those as well, so resources. That is some of the banter at the Cayuga game night. It's where students come to learn in a more informal setting and have a bit of fun and compete for prizes. Shelby says that on this night, they'll play word games, Bone Dice, Bone and Toggle. Bone and Toggle is played with a stick about 8 to 12 inches in length that has a piece of bone or antler that's been cut into a button shape with the center of it drilled out, tied to the stick with some cord. The idea is to flip the bone piece into the air and try to stab it with the stick so you catch the bone piece onto the stick. This night, the students set a timer to see how many times they could catch the bone piece within 2 minutes. Yeah, so we're going to try to see how many you can get within a minute. So it'll be a nice little contest for everyone.
Nice.
Prizes?
Oh, I think so.
Okay.
Some good ones in there, I think.
Okay. Right on. Well, let's go play games.
Let's go.
Okay. Please enjoy this song called The Moon by Six Nations Mohawk songstress Lacey Hill.
You can try to fight it, try to fight with all your dimness of the light.
title track, The Moon, from Lacey Hill's recently released album of the same name. Lacey is a Six Nations favorite, and we think she's an under-celebrated, hard-working musical talent who does so much to promote her culture and community out there in the world through her music. When you see people having such a great time, it's pretty contagious, and I could barely keep myself from participating in some of the games. So I tried my hand at the bone and toggle game and got pretty good at it using a small size stick, piercing that bone ring almost every goal. But when I switched to the larger size stick, it wasn't easy at all. I remember playing our traditional peach pit game where you play with an uneven number of pits, usually 5 or 7, and the pits are colored on one side. You toss them on a plate to see if more of the colored side land face up, or the natural pit color side has the majority. The players pick a color and wagering sometimes happens. It's kind of like the Indian dice game that was being played on that night. I ran into Michael Hill, a student of the Kyuga language class, but Michael is also a great community initiator, organizing the Six Nations Pride events and dedicating himself to our traditional agricultural pursuits.
My name is Michael, Kyuga Nation, Wolf Clan, here from Six Nations. I would say my language journey began during COVID, actually. Grew up with very minimal, learning colors, animals, the basics. Then moved for a couple years, didn't learn it, and then came back to it. It was definitely intimidating, but I'm still doing it, still in it, yeah, and I love it. Grateful to be here. So I'm in the immersion program during the day, 9 to 3, and then the degree program in the evenings, 5 to 8.
What's the difference between the day program and the degree program?
So, yeah, the immersion program during the day is just, just learning. You're pretty much starting from an intermediate, low level, learning how to conjugate verbs, how to form sentences, just to have those basic speaking proficiency. The degree program is more so, it's 3 years. So the immersion program is 2 years, the degree program is 3 years. But the degree is just in the evening, and that's just more so focusing on the grammar aspects of Gaikono. Yeah, so it helps. They're both one's speaking, one's grammar, so you really are getting the full understanding of the language.
We could talk about the mechanics of learning a language all day long, but I really wanted to know, from the heart, what's that heart motivation with the language?
It's community responsibility, it's intergenerational, fulfillment, if that makes sense. So my grandfather is a first language Gaikono speaker, so Peter, you know him, right? Peter Bomberry? Yeah, Elaine's dad.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So it's been amazing to learn as much as I can and speak with him what I can. And because he has no one else to speak with, he's also relearning it as we're talking. So that feeling I can't replace or describe. Cause just to be able to do that, right? Especially the fact that he never taught my father how to speak, or any of his aunts, or they never learned the language, right? So it stopped with him, but I'm picking it back up. So it's just filling in that generational gap, right? And also in the longhouse too, we're losing speakers, and so a lot of them are older, so they definitely want and need younger people to learn that. So again, it's fulfilling that cultural perpetuity, cultural responsibility. So it's just so much bigger than I am. So I don't have to be, but I'm glad to be here. So grateful to be here, to be able to do this, to learn it. Yeah.
And so what is that, the dream? Not just the goal, but the dream.
The dream?
Yeah.
After this program? Oh my goodness. So my grandfather has some property that I want to basically turn into a small farm where other people from the community can learn the language, but basically learn the plant in the language. So basically, again, addressing that cultural skills gap that we're losing. Like, we're losing all those different, you know, planting or paddling or tapping trees, how to hunt or fish, like, all in the language, right? So that'd be the biggest thing upon graduating this, is trying to get that program, that kind of avenue going, so I can give the language life again to those areas while also rebuilding that cultural community capacity. Yeah.
I mean, do you feel like you have to do, like, in, to be able to fulfill your dream, you have to be in community? I mean, is there any feeling like, oh my God, I'm trapped here?
Oh, no. No, I'm so grateful to be in this position where I'm at. And, like, I feel like it's definitely where I've been, had been told, I guess, I don't know, like, I'm where I'm meant to be, I guess. Like, I don't feel trapped or anything. It's just like this total fulfillment. Like, I love it.
I love tonight that there's some, there's, like, you know, tic-tac-toe, but then there's also stick and bone game and the Indian dice and, you know, the other beans and thing. I love the traditional games here. So when you, like, what else, how else can you apply? I love the idea of a garden, but like in your every, in your day to day, Michael, when do you get to use your language?
Oh, wow. Whenever really I can use it. Like, I try to use any and every word, like, during the day that I can. So whatever that may be, like thank you, nyama, or like, I think so, neumbi, or I don't think so, tenumbi, sadenyande, like, I'll try. So there's reniso, I'm ready. Like, oh, you're ready. Like, there's so many just little phrases that I really just try to, like, I'll think about, okay, well, how do I say that in Gaikono? And I'll try and write that down and just try and incorporate as much language I can in every day. But mostly with family, like, at the home for sure. Teaching my mom and sister phrases. Nice. Yeah.
I remember when Elaine was home a couple times back, and she was sitting, we were sitting with her dad on the porch at her sister's house, and Elaine brought up the app on her phone, she was checking in with her dad, like, how accurate the app was.
Yeah.
You know? And he was right on it. Like, he was right on it. Oh, yeah, no, we don't say it like that.
Yeah.
Or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
So tell me your relationship or what your views are in terms of, as a learner, having that interpersonal interaction, or is the app good? Is the internet good? Is it, like,
That's
useful?
The thing. Like, they definitely help for sure. I don't think they should be, like, the end-all and be-all. Just think the language has to live in the community, right? So that's what I'm trying to definitely is create these programs, different avenues where people can learn the language and also, like, the cultural skill behind that.
Yeah.
Right? So... but yeah, the other thing too, going back to my papa, is like how there are family dialects. So as I'm learning too with our family, that we have our own family dialect that my papa has. So it's like, had I not taken this program and spoke with him, I never would have known that. Like, so that's probably why he hears things differently and says them different, because that's just how, I guess, diverse Gaikono can be, right? There isn't just one way to say something, so it's so... so vast, which is also amazing too.
I've been hearing people talk about, like, the old style language too, though, right?
You know? Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. And do you get to learn any of that in the class, or basically it's just like a little bit mechanical?
Yeah. Right now, mechanical. Until we try to build up a proficiency enough to understand those older speakers, then we can kind of start working with that more and adapting it and, like, trying to bring it back, I guess.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you have any of the old-time speakers come into the classroom?
Yeah, so we have a soup meeting once a month. I think it's the first Wednesday of each month. Yeah, all first language speakers basically just gather in a room, and they're sitting, like, in a central table, and they're just speaking, and we're just listening, and, like, they're just, you know, doing their things. It's like, I love that. And we're following the same method how they would naturally form words. They call it the root word method. Yeah, so that's basically how we're learning to speak the language. Yeah.
That's so great.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Congratulations.
Yeah,
and I really appreciate you speaking with me about your journey.
Yeah, nyawa for coming.
Yeah, sure. Thank you, Michael.
As
I mentioned at the top of the episode, the Cayuga Language Games Night had a great energy about it. And I could only imagine that comes from a group of language learners who understand that their collective language journey takes patience, understanding, and support for one another. The night had a beautiful welcoming energy to it, but I couldn't help but feel like an outsider not being able to speak the language or understand what was being said. but I shared in the pride of that night, proud that even after all the attempts to have our languages removed from us, here we are, conversing, laughing, enjoying a full night of language games. Whew, it gets really emotional, you know? So here we go with our three language words for you, the listener, to try. Harvest. Gayun to gua. Gayun to gua. Gayun to gua. Harvest. Come in. Desedawia. Des e da wi ya. Desedawia. Come in. Listen. Sadahun sata. Sa da hun sa da. Sadahun sata. Listen. I'd like to say Niau Goa to the First Nations Technical Institute out of Tyendinaga Mohawk Territory for being such a great language resource to me so I can bring these words to you. I'm trying my best, and that's what matters. Next week, I sit down with Gatsihi Yondu, where this young language advocate, speaker, and teacher shares with us his personal, political, and cultural take on Indigenous language promotion. We'll leave you with this inspirational track from the 1998 album Contact from the Underworld of Red Boy. This is Robbie Robertson and Making a Noise. Until next time, onigiwahi. Bye for now. Be well and take care.
This is the kind of silence that frightens white men. making a noise in this world. You can bet your ass I won't go quietly, making a noise in this world.
Is made possible with funding from SiriusXM through the Community Radio Fund of Canada. Words and Culture is produced by Kim Wheeler. Kaylin Belair is our audio engineer and editor.
Onigiwahi,
Gigawabamin,
Soko Seni Denit E, Ninen Yuji Hina,
Ekose,
Kakuwutau. We'll see you again.